Surely we have many things to be thankful for this morning. Many ways God has been more than gracious to us, more than good, and just want to worship Him and praise Him, and to tell Him we love Him and tell Him that we want to be true and faithful. We want to endure hardness and we want to be a good soldier. We want to make it from here all the way and one day receive that crown of life. So thank the Lord this morning for salvation. The Apostle Paul, in one of his letters, one of his discourses, he talked about situations that he had encountered, and really they're not so uncommon to us because you and me all face our situations of life also. But I believe he said this, "But none of these things move me." Situations do come, do they not? Events do come, do they not? And I have a burden that will continue on some from last week. The Lord has seemed to impress me to let us know that He is concerned about you and me not being moved and not being disrupted, uprooted. And He wants you and me rooted and grounded in His love, that when the events that Paul encountered and that you and I encounter, that we too can say with Paul, "But none of these things move me. Move me off of the rock. Move me off of the foundation. Move me away from the truth." And I mean the truth of the Bible and the Word of God and the Spirit of God. "None of these things move me from being led of the Holy Ghost. None of these things pluck me out of my Father's hands. Not to be moved away from the hope of the righteous, to be moved away from the promises divine, to be moved away from the joy and the peace that God has afforded us. I'm concerned, and I know God is concerned, that people, you know, we live in a very mobile society, and we know that. There was a time in American history that people sometimes were born, raised, reared up, lived, worked, and died within just a matter of miles from where they were born. Not so today. We're used to mobility. Job prospects arise. It's nothing for a person to just pick up and go to another town, another community. We live in that kind of era, and that's not bad. But I'm thinking about we want to be very, very careful that you and me not just pick up and be moved away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our salvation. It is our hope. And I want to talk some more about that today, about being rooted and being grounded in God's love and in God's truth. We spoke some about the 61st chapter of Isaiah, where the Lord spoke to us that He had a wonderful message that was going to come to fullness in Jesus Christ, that He was going to give us the oil of joy, that He was going to give us praise for heaviness, that He was going to give us beauty for ashes. Sin had made, the songwriter said, our life so bitter, so complicated, and so harsh. And the songwriter said, Jesus makes it sweet and pure. And now I'm free from every fetter. We can be free today because Jesus Christ has come. That we might be, the scripture went on to say, you and me today, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Something God has done. Something the Lord has authored. Something that He has established in the earth today. And as trees of righteousness, that we be fruit-bearing trees. And that we be to His glory and to His honor. I think of all, and I may have said this last week, one of the great sins of mankind is we have forgotten to whose glory we should live to. And we live today for ourselves. I speak again as a man. We live today for our own comfort. And we have forgotten the call to sacrifice, the call to holiness, call to be trees of righteousness every day, in every season of our life, that God might be glorified with what people see about Him in us. and that when they taste of our fruit, they taste of love of Jesus Christ and the glory of God, and that He Himself is praised by our good works and by our deeds of kindness and by our faith and our fidelity to Him, and not being moved away, steady as she goes. May the Lord help us right here in this congregation, that when the years to come and someone begins to feel heart tugs to be saved, that they'll still be able to find a people here that love the Lord and that have not moved away. The Lord said, "Will you go away?" Oh, praise God, we don't have to go away. We also read a little bit in the first chapter of Psalms about a tree that's planted by the water. And it said in there, "And its leaf shall not wither." Thank God. You and me can be planted in Christ, in God, in such a way that in the seasons of our life, we not become depleted or we not move away. What does a withered leaf say? Death. Separation from the tree. Trees that are leaves that start to turn brown, they may hang on for a season. But when the rains or the storms or when the wind of life, the wind like last night, it starts to separate the withered leaf. The Lord has promised us that you and me could be planted in such a way that our leaf not wither, that we could be vibrant, that we could be alive, that we could have the beauty of holiness, the garments of salvation, and that our life in every season could bring forth a glory to God and not be moved away. I'm interested today in God's message, lets you and me not be moved away, and to recognize there's a reason for being moved away. It's not God's fault. It doesn't belong at the steps or the door of the church's fault. But there is a reason why people, mankind, has moved away. I'd like to read in Ephesians, I spoke of this briefly last Sunday, Ephesians 3 and 16. The prayer, you might say, of Paul concerning the folks in Ephesus, the prayer of God or the desire of God, I believe, for us right here in Guthrie, right here in the USA and America today. Paul said this in 3 and 16 of Ephesians, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. One of the things that you and me must do is take care of the spirit or the soul or the inner man. We must recognize we're twofold. We must recognize there is a warfare, if you will, between the two of us, between the man of the flesh and the man of the spirit. And we must be strengthened. We heard some about the weapons of our warfare in Sunday school today. We must put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must make no provisions for the flesh. There's a word called temperance, and that word is found in the fruit of the Spirit. Temperance is putting things in their proper perspective. Temperance is being in control and having self-control. One of the things that mankind faces is a lack of temperance and putting their things in proper perspective. The Lord knows full well what you and I have need of. He knows of food and raiment. He knows of the financial situations we encounter. The Lord wants you and me to have a temperate life whereby we put all things in perspective and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we're intemperate, if we get life out of perspective, and this is what I see is happening, and I believe we can have the mind of the Lord on this. The cares of life, the lust for riches, creature comforts call out and they become intemperate. Man becomes intemperate. And they begin to lose their focus and start seeking the things of the creature more than of the Creator. And then it's a little easier to get moved away. It's easier to become uprooted. And people then set their hearts in places that God does not want us to set them in. They could be legitimate things. They could be things that we do need to some degree. But we become intemperate. We come lose our self-control. And the first thing you know, we start to set our hearts over here is my happiness. Over here is my fulfillment. In these things that I can acquire and touch is where I will find satisfaction, and begin to be moved away from the foundation of the Lord. So, Lord, help us today that we be strengthened by His grace in the inner man, by His might, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love. The thought has come to me before, if you and me are going to go out and plant a garden, one thing we have to do is disrupt from some things. For that seed or that plant to grow, for that seed to germinate, one thing for sure has to happen. The soil around it, the soil underneath it, has to be disrupted. To be rooted and grounded in the love of God, we've got to allow the entrance of the Word of God, the light of God, the truth of God, to come and disrupt our life, to break up our fallow ground. A lot of people don't want to be uprooted from where they are. A lot of people don't want their grounds disturbed. I have found this, that as people go along, pleading their own case, living their own life, doing their own thing, eventually, something comes around. It may be death. It may be an imminence of death. Something comes around, though, and it starts uprooting them, starts making them disturbed. And then they begin to seek after what has been placed on the back burner for too long. I don't want that said of me. I don't want that said of you. Do you? I don't want to come to a place of being destitute and recognizing that life is short, I need help, and I have to try to resurrect something that I have placed way back in the halls of my memory somewhere. God wants us to have a today vibrant, encouraged experience with Him, a living experience today with Him, so that that day will not catch you and me unprepared or unaware. Paul was praying that we be rooted and grounded in love. Now, there's a reason for this, and this is just part of it right here. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, we might say, of God, the fullness of God. Did you know we need to be rooted and we need to be grounded so we can comprehend the things of God? To understand God is not a fly-by-night operation. To understand the mysteries of God and the greatness of God, the plan of God, the depth, the width, the breadth, and the height. I know you've noticed this, but He has four dimensions on this. And we're used to three dimensions. Did you know God has dimensions that you and I don't understand? God has depths and heights, but we have to be rooted and tap into that. We have to be grounded, and our roots go into that so we can draw from it. Thank God for everyone that comes to service. But it's more than just going through a door of a building. It is going through the door of Jesus Christ into an experience of where we're born again. To be rooted and grounded, we've got to become a new creature. Thank God for everyone at all times that go to Monarch. And may the grounds be so full this year, we'll have to hurry up with a new piece of property and get it ready. But being at Monarch does not root us and ground us. It's entering in at the door, Jesus Christ, and having our sins washed away and being made a new creature. And begin then to live in Him. and have our being in Him, to have our desire in Him, and to bear fruit, not as a product of going to Monarch or coming through the doors here, but bear fruit as a product of Christ dwelling in me, of me being rooted and grounded. Then we begin to understand. Then we begin to grasp what it means to be called a saint, what it means to be redeemed, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Again, the dimensions of God go so much further than the love of man, or the wisdom of man, or the character of man. There are men in this life and women today who are of noble, noble character, and we applaud them for their graciousness. But God has something so much even greater than that. May we then be rooted and grounded, firmly entrenched in Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. Not taking just what the preacher says on Sunday. That's important. God put it in the body that way. But there's something even greater than that. And that's my devotions and my prayers and my worship to God in my secret closet. That's the place where God can reward us manyfold. There's the place where God can openly display His glory as you and me spend time alone with God, worshiping Him, reading and studying, meditating and praying, getting rooted and grounded in God, looking at the Bible as the mirror of God that reflects back the image that He wants to see and also the image of what He does see. And you and me being governed by what? Coming to service, extremely important. The preaching of God's Word, extremely important. But folks, that's not enough. That's not enough. We've got to be rooted for ourselves. We've got to allow the fallow ground of our life to be broken up. We've got to go in places we've never gone before and be willing to go there. We've got to seek the Lord with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength. If we're not going to be moved away in this evil day, in our time, in this dispensation, we have got to love Him more than we love our own selves. So may God help us as we look into the Word of God today. The leaf will not wither. Those who are rooted and grounded, those who are planted by the rivers of living water. I want to read a first verse of number 56 today. And the part I want us to get out of this is in the chorus. Oh, look at the faithfulness of God, of Christ. Oh, look at the faithfulness of Christ our Lord. Look at Him today, folks, and see how in all His house, even more than Moses, He was faithful. See how that He went above and beyond anything we could imagine. Look at how faithful He was in Gethsemane. Look at how faithful He was on the cross. Look at how faithful He was when He said, I do always those things that please my Father. Look at the faithfulness of Christ our Lord. How He saves and keeps the soul. He not only can say, I forgive you, but He can deliver us and keep us who trust in His majesty and stand on His word. The author of the song put a caveat in here. How He saves and keeps the soul with this little caveat. To those who stand on His word. Do you see what the author, I believe, is saying? And in that process, we'll be safe while the billows roll. Have you ever felt the billows roll? I have. Have you ever felt the winds blow? I have. Have you ever felt the disappointment of life? I have. Have you ever felt Satan tugging on you? I have. Have we ever needed an anchor? I have. The songwriter got a hold of something and said, who trust in His majesty and stand on His word. That's how we're saved, folks, as the billows roll. Then the chorus cries out to me, "Oh, trust in God." I'm thinking about standing, being rooted, and being grounded. We've got to trust in God for that. We cannot allow ourselves to feel like it's all okay. I settled it 5 years ago, 20 years ago. Salvation is a today experience also. It is a place that we need to go back to and point the devil to the day we got saved. But it is also an experience that we must be able to point the billows of life to right here today. Trust in God, not only then, but trust in Him now. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in the faithful God. This morning, if I'm going to stand, I'm going to have to learn a word called obedience. I'm going to have to learn to respect. I am going to have to learn to trust. I am going to have to learn to turn loose of. I am going to have to recognize my own frailty, my own fallibility. I'm going and you're going to have to recognize that there's someone that is actually smarter than I am or smarter than you. We're going to have to realize there is a way that is better than what we could conceive for ourselves. We're going to have to come to a place, Lord, I trust you and your word and your way, and I want to be grounded in that. You see, if we don't trust, if we don't truly have faith, we're going to be careful where we put our roots down. And I say careful in this way. We're going to be picking and choosing. We're not going to really trust God when He says, this is the rock, or this is the place, this is the way to put down roots. Because as He teaches us those things, it's going to cause you and me to have to go against the flesh. And if we're not truly trusting in God, we're going to be we're going to put our feet down, our roots down kind of gingerly. Ooh, I don't know about that. I want to go to heaven, but ooh, that's a little touchy there, Lord. If I don't trust Him, I'll not be willing to let my root go right on down into it. I'll hold back. Trust. Trust in God. Oh, trust in Him, saints. He can root you. He can ground you. He can establish you. He can cause your foot not to be moved. But we've got to trust Him. Over in Jeremiah, the second chapter. Scripture I came across, I know I've read it, but I don't remember reading it. Jeremiah 2:21, God was speaking to the people, to Jerusalem, to Israel. And this is something that I want to take out of this. 2:21 of Jeremiah. Yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy, completely, a right seed. What the Lord did was perfect, noble, and pure, and complete. He left nothing to man, and He left nothing to chance. He established the ensign. He established the stem, the root of Jesse. He sent down to us the son. He sent unto us the child. He established the way. He established the plan, and He implemented it fully Himself. He tread the winepress of the wrath of God Himself. He did not say, you or you, Peter, James, John, I want you to go out and die. I want you to go out and suffer. I want you to go out and suffer for the sins of mankind. He didn't delegate that out to anyone. So He could plant us a noble vine, a pure vine. When you are saved, when I am saved, we're holy. We're the planting of the Lord. And He wants to root us right there in His love by trusting Him. That we then might grow and be able to comprehend with all the saints, all the dimensions and all the power, all the magnitude and glory of God, that we, our leaf, would not wither when storms come, when trials come, when someone hurts our feelings, when those things arise, temptations of sin, when those things arise, that our leaf will still have the vibrance of the life of Christ in it. He wants us to have that this morning. He planted us pure and complete. Everything that could be done for our salvation has been done. Over in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, I want to consider a thought that Paul wrote. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Faith in God. Trust in God. Are you building on the rocky tunnel? Jesus Christ, the foundation. Have you moved away? Have you built on another foundation? Are we trying to straddle the fence this morning? We're going to be moved away if we are. If we're building on some other thought, some other practice, some other doctrine than the God of heaven and His Bible and His Word, we're going to be moved away. He said, but God is faithful. He'll deal with us as dear children. And He'll remember our weaknesses. And He'll challenge us and chasten us. But praise God, He is faithful and He will establish you or establish you. He will make you then to be like Paul or me to be like Paul. But none of these things move me. I count not my life dear. There's something greater than my life, my comfort, my time, my riches, my health, my mind, my way, my persuasion. I have found the pearl of great price. I'm willing and have sold everything. I want to be rooted in this thing, grounded in God. I want to be established. I don't want to be moved away. I don't want something to come along that overwhelms me. I don't want the billows to come and I just say, I'm cashing in. I'm not going to do that anymore. But I want to be able to withstand and endure hardness as a good soldier. If we trust in the faithfulness of God, if we submit our hearts, our minds, our lives, our everything to Him, He said, who shall establish you? God will do that for you today, folks. You don't have to be moved away. Brother Carver years ago told us in Shreveport, and I'm going to have to misquote him some, but maybe I can get the thought of it. He said, it is as hard, how shall I say this, that it is extremely hard to backslide. Because God, and I'm paraphrasing this because I don't remember exactly how he said it, because God is going to do everything He can to hold on to you. If you backslide, if you moved away, it's because you overrode everything God is trying to establish in your life. It'll be the last resort that God will have to say, you're on your own. This morning, God is able to establish us. He's trying very hard to establish us. And our enemy's not out there. And our enemy's not the world. Our enemy is not what other people say, do, think about us, how people do or don't speak about us. Our enemy is ourself. That's the man that we can kill. We can legally kill self. I can't kill you, but I can legally crucify myself. Till that happens, we're on shaky ground, folks. Till I learn how to go to the cross and submit to the death thereof. Till I am willing to take on Christ in His humility, I believe a man or woman is on shaky ground. They can be moved away. But He can keep you from evil. Evil has so many different shapes. Did you know evil can be totally in our heart or in our mind? We don't have to go out and put on evil. We don't have to go out and do all the ugly, cruel things the world may do. We can have evil in our heart. We can have evil in our mind. You know, God said, Paul said, God is able to establish us. Over in 1 Peter, he said He's faithful. That's critical that we remember that. It's critical to remember God is faithful. 1 Peter 5 and 10. 5 and 10 of 1 Peter. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." May God help us today. This word perfect means complete, means as God intended. But I was reading in the Greek, and here was the little definition that I thought was apt. Perfect, to make one what he ought to be. I like that. Have you ever, Paul said it this way, "I know what I ought to do, but I don't do it. I know what I shouldn't do, but I do it." You know, probably one of the best critics of a Christian is a non-Christian. And why is that? Because even a non-Christian knows how a Christian ought to act. You know that? If you get shortchanged at the bank, and you start ranting and raving and throwing things around, and you're known in town to be a Christian, I tell you what, the vilest of sinners can look at you and say, "That's not what Christ would do." Did you know we need to recognize today God wants to make us what we ought to be? And we'll do that, and he'll do that if we submit to him. Man has kind of wandered away from that. And men have established all kind of fraternities and sororities and clubs and new leaves to be able to make themselves perfect. And we know this, we as people have failed. The only one that can make us what we ought to be is God. But he's willing to do that. We have to have a fear of God, a great awe and a great respect of God. But he said the God of grace, of all grace, what do you need to stand? What kind of nutrients do you need? He's the God of all grace. What kind of wisdom? What kind of help? What kind of support? He's the God of all grace. What kind of understanding do you need? What kind of sympathy do you need? What kind of encouragement do you need? What kind of understanding do you need? He's the God of all grace. Where we stand, what we need, he's the God of all grace. What it's going to take to be rooted and grounded, he's the God of all grace. May the Lord help us today not to be moved away. God is hurt when we're moved away. God is sad when people are moved away. And it's a great danger in being moved away, because folks, somewhere in being moved away, I don't know where it is, sometimes it's very soon and sometimes it's rather slower. But there's the danger, the great danger in being moved away is we fall off. I believe there's some latitude in Christ. I don't believe he is a Christ or a judge that keeps a pair of shears and pruning shears in his hands, that the first little misstep or the first little leaning, that he said, "I've got you on that one." But I do believe this. I can lean. And I can be moved away to the point the rock is just so big. And it will not entertain sin. And sin cannot build on it. And I can fall off the rock, if you can say it that way. The Lord doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to put down roots. Matthew 7 and 21 is a very serious commentary the Lord made and gave to us. Matthew 7. And this is something that God has not committed to me or to you, to judge the validation, or the validity of another person's testimonies. I believe someone was quoted years ago as saying we're not to judge, but God has made us somewhat fruit inspectors. I can take that thought to a degree, but ultimately it is God who judges these things. Now, surely if I see someone going around telling big whoppers, I can pretty well say, "Well, I don't think he's saved." He sure is violating the Word of God. But God has not committed to us this judgment that we're fixing to read of here. Matthew 7 and 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Going to be some hurt feelings and some disappointments. And one of the dangers I see of building off of the rock, not being firmly grounded and rooted in His love, is, to me, the soil that we're planted in becomes our sustenance, our substance that we live from. It becomes us, and we draw from it. If I build on a foundation other than Christ and His truth and the Word of God and walking honestly before Him, that all I have left is to draw from that source that I am planted in. And that's a lie. And that's deceitful. And it might have some virtuous attributes. And it might have some gracious qualities. But it will not draw from the essence of who Christ is and bring me into that state of perfection or being what I ought to be before God. So everyone that says unto the Lord, or says, Lord, Lord, they're not going to enter in to the kingdom, but he that doeth the will, he that is obedient unto the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. You see, part of the rooting and grounding is that we can comprehend God. If I'm over here building, if I'm getting my information from a preacher and that's all, if I've joined up with a club and they tell me how we ought to behave, I'll never, and I start getting rooted in that, Masonic orders, or other orders of men, and I start getting rooted in that, that's going to become my truth and my substance. And I am not going to be able to draw from Jesus Christ. In my life, when it comes time to present myself to God at the judgment, I am going to have to bring the fruit of drawing from something other than Christ. I'll be moved away. I'll slip and fall. And he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, the Lord is able to establish us and keep us from all evil. But he said here, those who were established in something else, and even though they named the name of the Lord, he said, I never knew you. You are workers of iniquity. The rains descended. We can read on. The floods came, and the house moved away. If we are, how shall I say this? If you find yourself succumbing to the storms of life, and in your succumbing to the storms of life, you're not happy, nor would you want to take that fruit that came out of that and ask God to bless it. If you are conscious that your conduct in the storm of life is not becoming Jesus Christ, it would do us well to see if I'm rooted in Christ. It would do good to examine our own self. Behave in a way that shames the Lord? I need to check what I've been drawing from. Oh, I'm not saying that we won't have thoughts and we won't sometimes do less than we felt like we should. But look at the consistency of your life. Look at the long range of your life. When someone cheats you, when someone defrauds you, when someone hurts your feelings, what's your track record? How you been acting? What you been doing? God wants us rooted and grounded in love, that in those seasons our leaf not wither, but we bring forth fruit. Are we being moved away from what we ought to be? God wants to make us perfect, and that's what we ought to be. So I would say to us, the floods of life are good for us. Storms of life, they have a work to do. And by the grace of God, I want them to do their work in my life. I want them to expose my weakness. How about you? Do you want the storms of life to show you where you're not quite where you ought to be? Or room for growth? Then the decision's ours. But I want to tell you something. The Lord is faithful. Who will establish you? He will do it if we allow Him. So thank God for the storms of life in the sense they can work a work in us and expose our weakness. Did you know you could have a hole in your roof and if it never rains, you'd never know it? We need the rain, folks. We need the shaking. We need to feel the wind blow against us because we're going to the judgment. We're going to give an account. God help us to be able to do it. He said in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son in Hebrews. Over in that chapter, in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, I want to read something here to us. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 26th verse. Picking it up here in mid-thought. Well, the 25th verse, 12th chapter of Hebrews. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, speaking of Moses, much more shall they not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, remember now, we're talking about Hebrews was written concerning this is the last dispensation. These are the last days of all of God's plans. The next step is the judgment to come. And he said, in these last days, and he said, yet once more whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Two or three ways you can look at that. I'm going to shake everything. Or, I'm not only shaking the earth, but I'm going to shake the heavenly things that I have ordained. And I am going to shake people who say they're rooted in heavenly things, who say they are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. He said, there'll come a time I'm going to shake the heaven. And this word, yet once more, it signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. If I'm building on man-made philosophy, man-made idea, I'm going to be shaken up. God help us to build on that which cannot be shaken. Cannot be shaken. The Word of God, He said, abideth, endureth forever. That's my foundation and that's yours. And there's going to come a shaking. And if I am not built, you are not built and founded on the Word of God and adhere to it and obey it. He said, that's something that's made. All kind of man-made philosophies, all kind of man-made religions, all kind of man-made ideas. Folks, if you ask me something, I'll tell you something. I'm not saying that whether it's a blessing or a curse, but you're looking at a man that's got an opinion about everything. Somebody says, what do you think about today? I can tell you what I think. I'm not going to say how accurate it is. You know, what do you think about that car? Well, I can tell you what I think about it. But it doesn't count for anything. See, there's all kind of man-made philosophies. What do you think about Jesus? Nobody's got an idea of what to think about Jesus. But what does God think about Him? What am I doing with what God says? That's the question. Lord, help us today. If there's something man-made, God wants to shake it out of our life before the judgment. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Folks, I have seen it and you have too. People wanting to redefine the church and truth. It's almost like we've got a wheel that rolls real good, but we're going to make the wheel better. We're going to reinvent it. The church is not going to be moved because the church is Christ. The church is the body of Christ. What will be moved, and this is what I'm trying to emphasize, is people will be moved. And the only way we're not going to be moved is be rooted and grounded in this thing. And I mean this thing meaning the Word and the Spirit and the truth of God. That's our only hope. If I've got man-made ideas, folks, they're just as good as yours, and yours is just as good as mine. And when it comes to the judgment, they won't count for righteousness' sake. We've got to be rooted in this. What people did to me or didn't do to me, what happened out there in Hollywood or New York City, God's not going to ask me those kind of things. He's not going to ask me how my mama treated me. Did my mama die when I was a young boy? He's not going to ask me those things. But he's going to look at me and see what I'm bringing with me. He said their works do follow them. The life we live, the trust we have. He's going to ask me, did I love my enemy? Did I help the needy? Did I visit the fatherless? He's going to ask me those kind of things. He's not going to say, did John, Sue, or Billy go? Did they go do those? He's not going to ask me. But he's going to say, who were you following? Who were you obeying? Where were you rooted? And he's going to look for evidence of that. It's in the twinkling of an eye. It'll all be over with. We can receive a kingdom today, folks, that cannot be moved. But it's God's kingdom. And he's asking us to be rooted and grounded in it. I want to maybe end right here. The word terrible can mean great. It can mean evil. It can mean a lot of different things. Serious. I want to read to you a terrible scripture. 15th chapter of Matthew. Folks, I want you to get this. God wants us to get this. This is a terrible scripture. Not evil, but the magnitude of it is beyond measure. Matthew, the 15th chapter, and 12th verse. Then came his disciples and said unto him, and he spoke about, he had been speaking to the Pharisees, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Isn't it amazing how words of life can offend people? It's rather amazing how truth and hope can offend people. It's kind of amazing how honest criticism meant to help can offend people. Kind of amazing, really. But people are offended. It's because, well, here's what he said. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Life will get you, folks. Events and the storms will get you. I believe that. Every plant that is not planted by God, every plant that didn't enter in at the door, Jesus Christ, will be rooted up. This is not a perhaps or a maybe. This is a shall. Every person who builds on something other than Christ will be rooted up. Every person, every plant that is not rooted and grounded and established in Christ will be rooted up. Life will root you out. The devil will root you out. God himself will root you out. He's not going to allow anything that offends, that causes sin, to abide in his kingdom. He is going to see that circumstances will occur that will ferret us out and uproot us. So that we might be saved, really. So that we might repent. This morning, if you and me are not built on the rock and established, if we're not bringing forth fruits unto righteousness and the glory of God. If our leaf has withered and we're not bringing forth fruit in our season, God is rooting us out, folks. He wants us to know it now. So the word is repent, change, turn from. God wants to establish us. God wants us rooted and grounded in truth and in love. He wants to establish us with His grace, all grace abounding to us. The one way that can happen is He comes along and He roots us up. Now, the judgment is not the time for this. It will happen at the judgment. But the time for it is now. The time for it is now. Every plant, are we building on the rock eternal? Can we stand the awful judgment shock? If we don't have root in ourselves, He spoke about the seed, we'll abide for a season. Oh, it'll spring up. And this hurts us. To see someone confess, get saved, but they never turn from where they were and they never begin to set down roots in Christ. And after a while, the toil of life, the discipline of Christ is more than they can handle. And they're moved away. May we have root in ourselves. And that root reaching down into God and into Christ this morning. The Lord wants to come into my heart and yours. And He's going to look at us. Thank God for that. And every branch that's not bearing fruit, He's going to take it away. And every branch that's bearing fruit, He's going to get the pruning shears out. And He's going to purge it. And not for meanness, but for our glory and God's glory, that we may bring forth more fruit. This morning, we don't have to be moved away. We can be established in this thing called salvation, the kingdom of God. We can be established in the Word of God. We can be perfect. We can be what we're supposed to be, called to be saints. But to do it, we got to be rooted and we got to be grounded. Because probably before this day is out, some of us are going to get rained on. Before this day is out, there's going to be a strong, objectionable wind blow against you. Somebody, maybe more than some of us. Before this day is over, there's going to be some shaking for somebody, or maybe more than some of us, in this building today. And God wants us to have it firmly grounded in Him that when the shaking's over with, that which remained is of God. And those things that are not of God in your life or mine, by all means, Lord, shake them loose. That I might turn loose of them. That I'll not excuse them. That I'll not pine away after them. That I'll not long for them. That I'll not say, oh, but I can't get along without it. Oh, God, help us to drop our defenses and trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God. What are you doing? I'm trusting. How are you going to handle this? I'm trusting. You know what they said about you? I'm trusting in God. Wisdom is justified of His children. I'm trusting in God. I don't have any defense anymore. I'm trusting in God. My excuses are gone. I want to be what God wants me to be. Remember this. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted, shall be rooted up. You pray for me.